Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Well, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in for yet another amazing episode of Spiritual Insights. This month, we have been exploring the topic of honoring your resolution to change your life, and we've been exploring a lot of different ways. And today is a special day because Mr. Bill Ferguson is returning to help us do just that, but he's going to do it from the perspective of healing the past in order to embrace the future. And if you did not hear Mr. Ferguson's original segment, I can certainly tune into that after the show because we had a very thorough discussion. And this time it will be no different. But let me tell you a little bit about Bill. If you're new to the show, if you're a new listener, or if you're not familiar with Mr. Ferguson, Bill's work has been called the penicillin of psychology. He's been featured on Oprah. He's been recommended by both the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post. And he's written several best-selling books, including How to Heal a Painful Relationship, Miracles Are Guaranteed, and, of course, his newest work, Get Your Power Back. So today, let's learn together once again about how healing the past is one of the most crucial things we could possibly do to create a better future. Bill, thank you so much for coming back to the show. How are you, my friend?
Well, fine. It's good to be with you again. I've been looking forward to this.
I have, too. It's just such an important topic, and I think it's where most of us are stuck, you know, and it's just all that I think, like you say on your website, I spend extensive time on your website, and the way you describe it, you know, everybody has some kind of pain or hurt. But everybody has a different hurt, and that's what I'm excited to explore today.
Yeah, and what we do, we live in a world where all of our focus is outside of ourselves. You know, all the focus is on the circumstances. He said, she said, this happened, that happened.
Right.
And that what we don't notice is that what happens around us in the realm of circumstances is always the symptom of what's deeper, what's inside. And
absolutely.
And what happens is that anytime there's an area of life that isn't working, anytime there's a relationship that isn't working, any area of life that isn't working, we think that's the problem, but it is never, 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 never the problem. It is always the symptom of something deeper. And until you can resolve the something deeper, nothing's going to change on the surface. So we
absolutely
keep repeating the past over and over and over again,
You
know, all the time thinking that the problem is outside of us.
Absolutely. It cannot be outside of us because it would only be perception, right?
Yeah, and one thing that I've noticed is that the type of circumstances that show up in each person's life are so different. So the things that show up in my life are totally different than what shows up in the next person's life. But the type of circumstances that show up in each person's life keep showing up over and over and over. And the reason the same things keep showing up is because we create them. You know, in the programs that I do, I often ask people, you know, how many people notice that there are certain areas of your life that don't work and that these areas may clear up from time to time, but they keep coming back again and again. You know, and everybody raises their hand. And in the areas of life that don't work for one person is totally different than the areas of life that don't work for the next person. But for each person, we keep repeating the past because we keep creating the past. But we put our focus in a direction that just keeps us stuck forever. we look outside of us instead of inside of us.
Right. And why do we keep repeating? Like, if we're repeating a part of the past that hurt us, why keep repeating it?
Well, let's look at what happens. See, any time there's an area of life that isn't working, there's a truth that we're fighting. So it might be good to talk about, like, why certain areas of life don't work, and then start looking at the nerve that causes all the damage.
Okay.
First off, there's the reality, and then there's our reality. In the reality, what is, just what so is what so, period.
Right.
Then there's our reality. Our reality consists of the thoughts, the feelings, the emotion, the points of view, the opinions, the stuff. And
Got
it's
you.
Our stuff that shapes our lives and determines what happens.
Right.
So any time there's an area of life that isn't working, there is something that's there, and it's the truth. Something happened. Our feelings about it are irrelevant, or something may happen. But there's some circumstance that's there. And where life works is when you can put your focus on, okay, given that's the truth, what do I need to do about it? See, that's where
okay.
life works. But any area of life that isn't working, instead of putting the focus on what do I need to do based on the facts, instead all the focus is on fighting the facts. And when we do that, we destroy our ability to find solutions, and we interact in a way that magnifies the problem. So every time there's an area of life that isn't working, this underlying condition is present. There's a
okay.
truth that we're fighting. And why we fight the truth is because the truth hurts. It strikes a nerve. So
okay.
anything that comes along and strikes that nerve is going to be a threat, which is going to force us to magnify the problem instead of resolve it.
Got you. Wow.
It
sounds so simplistic, but it runs so deep, especially, you know, because we all have experiences in our past that have hurt us. And
yes.
I think most of us spend a lot of time trying to gloss our lives over as if we don't have any hurt, and that can't be true.
Well, can't, no, because we're born fully present with who we are. Who we are under all the junk is pure love, pure creation, pure possibility. We're born that way. But we're born into a world of the world that kills it. So we're born present with who we are, but we collide with our culture. We experience incredibly painful losses of love. And as a little child, the only way we can explain these incredibly painful losses of love is to blame ourselves. Clearly, I'm the problem.
Right.
And then we decide what that problem is. I'm not good enough. I'm not worth loving. I'm worthless. I'm a failure. I'm this. I'm that. And it is never, never, never the truth. But in the eyes of a little child, it becomes our truth. And then we spend the whole rest of our life running from it.
Right.
And if any circumstance comes along and hints that we really are this way, that's going to be a major threat to our survival. We'll be threatened. And since we're threatened, all of our focus is on how do I change the circumstances so I don't have to feel the hurt. That narrow focus becomes a tunnel vision. The tunnel vision destroys our ability to see what works. It destroys our ability to see clearly. It destroys our ability to find solutions. And since we're threatened, the only action ultimately is fight or flight, fight, resist, hang on, or withdraw.
Absolutely. So where do we go? What do we do? And how do we determine, because you say everyone has a different hurt, how do we determine, how do we zero in on the hurt that really is causing self-sabotaging behavior?
Yes, because literally every person alive has got this hurt, but everybody's got a different hurt, and each person avoids it in a different way, but wherever that hurt manifests, that area of life won't work.
Right.
So the thing that I've found is that literally every area of life that doesn't work can be traced to this hurt. Every self-sabotage behavior pattern can be traced to this hurt. And every area of life where we suffer can be traced to this hurt. And until we find and heal this hurt, we will be forced to repeat the past.
Absolutely.
So,
until it's healed.
Let me give you an example of where this stuff gets created.
Okay.
Years ago, I was in a department store, and there was a mother and daughter shopping. The little girl was about four. and she spilled her drink, and which is something four-year-olds do. And her mother got real upset, started screaming at her, saying, "What's the matter with you? Why are you so stupid?" So how many times is this precious little four-year-old going to hear that before she believes it? You know, probably just once.
Yeah.
And what happens if she hears it over and over and over again?
She'll be convinced.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with the truth, but in the eyes of a little child, it becomes her truth because she doesn't have the wisdom to notice that her mother's got a problem.
Absolutely.
So she'll create that belief that she's stupid, and then she'll fight the very belief that she created. Stupid is a horrible way to be, because if you're stupid, you'll never be loved. Look at my own mom. My own mom doesn't love me because I'm stupid. I can't be stupid. I got to be smart. So she'll spend the whole rest of her life running from stupid, doing everything she can to become smart, but no matter what she accomplishes, it'll never be enough to get rid of that hurt.
Right, and there's no way you can predict in which direction she'll go, because when we can call that a traumatic event, and when we experience a trauma, we can either kind of repeat the trauma or fight against it. So how do we know what happened to that little girl? Did she get into school and decide, well, I'm stupid, so I shouldn't even try? Or did she become hyper goal-oriented to constantly overcome that judgment that was placed on her? Is that what we do with ourselves no matter what?
Well, what happens is that hurt is so threatening. You know, that like if some circumstance comes along and hints that the girl really is stupid, that her mother was right about her, that really is the truth, subconsciously that's going to be a major threat to her survival. This hurt is so threatening, it's like if that really is the truth, you know, it's more painful than death. I'd rather die than have that be true.
Right.
It's so threatening that our whole life, now in reality there's nothing threatening about it, it's just a combination of thoughts and feelings, but subconsciously it's a major threat. And to avoid that threat, our whole life subconsciously is about how do I make people in life be a certain way so I don't have to feel it. And literally we have tunnel vision. It's literally like blinders on a horse.
Right.
Subconsciously, it's like, don't confuse me with the facts. Tell me how to avoid the hurt.
And so you say that creates a tunnel vision?
Yeah, and it forces us to create to interact in a way that will bring us more hurt. For example, in the area of relationships, the hurt that does the most damage is not worth loving. So some people will avoid that hurt by making sure they never get too close to a relationship. Other people will avoid the exact same hurt by needing a relationship.
Okay.
Well,
got you.
The more I need a relationship, the more I'm going to be needy, which will push people away.
Yes, it will.
Also, the more I need a relationship, I won't have the patience to find the person who's right for me. I'll grab whoever's reasonably available. Statistical probability is it won't be a fit. And even if I found the perfect person, I'd kill it.
Because of the neediness and the clinginess and that and the repulsive reaction that engenders?
Yes, but more than that, see, I've got all this hurt. Well, no matter how wonderful you are never going to be wonderful enough so as to not trigger my hurt. It's like a bad sunburn on your back. Something's going to touch it.
Yes.
So you're going to be you. It's going to trigger this hurt in me. I'm not going to notice that I've got a nerve that's being triggered. All I'm going to notice is what triggers it, which is you. I'm going to perceive you as a threat, so then I'm going to get upset at you.
And not recognize your own self-sabotaging patterns.
That's right, because I'm going to think you're the problem. So I'm
outside
constantly going to be getting upset at you because you're not treating me a certain way. And then you get upset at me, and then I get upset at you, and we create this cycle of conflict that kills a relationship. And if that's not bad enough, then I'm going to hang on to you, because even though I hate you, you better not go, because if you go, that proves how worthless and not worth loving I am.
There you go.
So in the combination of all this, it's just a matter of time until you're gone, which brings me more hurt, and then I've got more hurt to run from. I step into the next relationship, and I repeat the same thing all over again.
Oh, my goodness.
You see, you cannot escape this.
No.
You can heal it, but you cannot escape it. what, see, and everybody's got this hurt, but whatever the person's hurt is, we're going to interact in a way where our life is going to be about trying to avoid it, and in our trying to avoid it, we are going to create it, guaranteed. So life is forever bringing to us and putting in our face the very things we need for our healing so that the rest of our life can be great. It's
yes,
just
that
as a culture, instead of using the stuff for more healing, we run from it and add more baggage and make the rest of our lives even worse.
And what makes it difficult, as you put it, on your website, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is, I gave it earlier, masteryourlife.com has the
Well, it's actually Mastery of Life.
Mastery of Life, I'm sorry.
Yeah, masteryoflife.com.
And on there, you help people to determine what hurt is holding them back. But with regard to the tunnel vision, you say that the tunnel vision, it's so difficult to see things clearly that even though we see these patterns emerging over and over in our lives, we still don't have the ability to see why it happens. How do
we? Yeah, we're looking in the wrong direction.
Mm.
Yeah, we're looking in the wrong direction. So to heal this hurt, see, because one thing about this hurt is that it's not based on fact. The hurt is never, never, never based on fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we made up as a child, and then we fought it and magnified it out of proportion. So we actually spend our whole lives running from something that doesn't even exist, doing everything we can to become something else that doesn't exist, destroying
right.
our lives in the process.
Mm. And somehow, whatever the hurt is, it permeates everything in your life.
Everything.
That's a lot to deal
everything.
With.
Everything. Everything, and we don't even notice it. Because all we see are the circumstances. But the circumstances are never, 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 never the problem. They are always the symptom.
Absolutely. But if we were to sit still and look at the landscape of our lives and look at the areas that clearly are not working, whether it's our career, our job, relationships, financial, and then we look at the areas where we feel they are working, what is the one distinction that makes
Well, the areas of life that work are areas where you can flow with whatever happens. There's no nerve getting triggered. And your focus automatically is on, okay, given that's the truth, what do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
See, you're very effective in the areas of your life that work. The areas of life that don't work are areas where we can't flow. We can't flow because subconsciously we're threatened. And then instead of putting our focus on what do I need to do based on the truth of the way things are, instead the focus is on fighting the truth of the way things are, which then magnifies them.
And creates more of the same.
And creates more of the same. See, I call it the law of resistance. Whatever you resist, no matter what it is, whatever you resist, the very act of resisting is going to magnify and give power to whatever you're resisting. An example, imagine on the ceiling above you four large yellow balloons, but whatever you do, don't think about them.
Mm.
So notice what happens when you try not to think about them. You create more yellow balloons.
I can see them quite clearly.
Yes. Have you ever had a relationship with somebody where that person had a particular characteristic that you couldn't stand and you resisted that characteristic?
Sure.
What happens to the characteristic?
It's almost like when you buy a car and see that type of car all over the place when you never noticed it before, and you become hyper-focused on that characteristic, and it gets more and more on your nerves till you want to strangle them.
Yes.
It becomes a real issue.
Resisting the characteristic does not make it go away. It actually causes it to show up more, and it shows up not just in your perception, but it actually shows up in the world around you. So, for example, if I have a fear of losing you, I'm resisting this future event called losing you. Well, the more I resist losing you, the more I hang on, the more I act destructively, which pushes you away, which brings to me the very thing I'm resisting.
Yes.
So whatever you resist keeps showing up in your life over and over and over.
And how, on your website, you very generously put methods, like I was saying, that people can determine their core hurt. What do we do once we find out what that core issue, as you call it, those core issues that destroy love and create opposition? But the key factor is that what we're fighting against outside of us is what we're fighting against inside. How do we turn that around or get on that path to healing?
Okay. Well, the first thing is to find what the hurt is.
Okay.
That's the first thing. And the hurt will always be the hurt of feeling in some way not okay, not good enough, not worth loving, worthless, failure, something like that. And it is never, 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 never the truth. It's just an emotion. But it's an emotion that subconsciously we perceive as a threat. So we'll do anything to avoid feeling it.
Got you.
So in looking for the hurt, keep in mind that you're not looking for the truth. You're looking for the emotion.
Okay.
So don't look and see, is it true that you're a certain way? Because it's not. Instead, look and see, if it were true, would that be painful? And the more painful it would be, the more it runs your life.
Wow. Now, say that very slowly one more time.
Okay. When you're looking for the hurt, don't look for the truth. Because to say that somebody's worthless, not good enough, not worth loving, has nothing to do with the truth. So don't look for the truth. Look for the hurt. Look to see if it were true, would that be painful? And the more painful it would be, the more it runs your life.
There you go.
Okay. Now, there's nothing you can do to get rid of worthless, not good enough, whatever your issue is. You cannot get rid of it. But what you can do is you can take away its relevance. You can take away its relevance. You can be so what about it. You can get to the place where you can say, yeah, that's part of me. So what? You can take away its power.
Okay.
See, because but you cannot make it go away. But you can get to the place where it's just so irrelevant. Like, most people have no issue with coward. For most people, people say, yeah, coward, that's part of me. So what?
Well,
you
can
get to the place.
Sure.
What?
We all have fears. Right? Or,
yes,
what kind
but
of...
there's a... Yeah, see, in the realm of thinking, everybody, in all of us, we're worthy, we're worthless, we're success, we're failure, we're good enough, we're not good enough, we're brave, we're coward, we're all these things in the realm of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
For most people do not have an issue with coward.
Mm-hmm.
So for most people, yeah, people would say, yeah, that's part of me, so what?
Okay.
Well, you want to get to the place where the worthless, not worth loving, not good enough, whatever your hurt is, becomes as irrelevant as coward.
Okay.
See, it's in the so what you get your freedom. But you can't do that in your head. You have to get to it, because in reality it really is so what. But to get to the so what on a heart level, you have to first get that it's so. In other words, you got to take away the resisting of it.
Got you. Okay.
And that once you face the dragon, once you face your worthlessness, then you discover on an experiential heart level that the dragon really is an illusion. It's nothing more than thoughts and feelings. And it's a dragon that has no teeth. And once you discover that on a heart level, on an emotional level, the dragon never, 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 never has the same power again. And
absolutely,
that's a huge thing.
That's the key to your freedom, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And then what happens is that, see, you know, I do a lot of individual work with people, and then when I work with them, you know, I tell them that what they end up discovering is that this is a hurt you're going to be working on for a while, but you can heal a major hunk of it very, very quickly. And what's more important than that is that you can get on top of it very, very quickly, so that any time the hurt gets triggered, you've got power over the hurt instead of the hurt having power over you, and that's huge.
That's major, absolutely.
That's major, because then you've got the power instead of your circumstances. And in reality, okay, no circumstance has power over us. Our circumstances only have the power that we give them.
Mm-hmm.
And we give them power when we're afraid of them, when we fight them. And we fight them because they hurt. And on the surface, we resist the circumstances, but at a deeper level, we never resist the circumstances. We resist the feelings and emotions.
About the circumstances.
About the circumstances.
Wow.
So so if a circumstance comes along and triggers an emotion that you're totally willing to feel, that circumstance will have no power.
I love it.
See, we don't realize, but it's all about emotion. It's all about emotion.
Never
the circumstances. We don't want to feel our emotions.
Right.
Particularly, these emotions.
Sure, and that's what gets us into trouble. Whatever your escape mechanism is, some of us bury ourselves in work to numb ourselves.
Yes. Yes, all the oh-holics, the alcoholics, the workaholics, the sexaholics, mm-hmm. the drugs, like all addictions are rooted in this hurt.
And trying to numb it or get away from it.
Trying to numb it, trying to avoid it, trying to get rid of it.
Yes.
And then some of the things we do end up having actual physical, become physically addictive in addition, but they're all rooted in the hurt. The more destructive somebody is, the more suppressed hurt they got.
Sure.
The more you can heal the hurt, the more you're able to get rid of the hurt, the only thing that's left is love. And in that love,
yes,
life works incredibly.
And that's what's at the core of everything. It's the love. We were created
in
love.
We
were born pure love, as you say. It's just our reactions to the experiences that kind of set the tone for our behavior and our thinking, and then the emotions we fight throughout. Wow.
Absolutely.
It's so simple. So why is life so hard?
Yeah. Well, it's hard because we're looking in the wrong direction. We don't see this stuff.
We're not looking
at it. But it's
within.
Like once you see it and once you really get it, it's life-changing.
Absolutely. Well, we actually have a caller on the line. Bill, would you like to take a call?
Great. And then one of the next things that would be good for us to talk about would
mm-hmm.
be to talk about how do you find the hurt?
Okay.
Where do you look for it? How do you find it? And then we want to talk about how do you heal it.
Okay. We'll do that. Hang on 1 second. This is area code 410. Hello. You are on the air with Mr. Bill Ferguson. Did you have a question?
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you? What's your name?
I do have a question. I feel like I'm a clone of my mother, where my brother and sister aren't. Like I grew up not acting like her, but some of her, her issues, I felt they happened to me. And
yeah, well, this stuff tends to get passed on generation after generation.
Uh-huh. How do you work to get over that so you're not like your mother?
Well, for one thing, how do you feel with the notion that you're just like your mother?
I don't like that.
Don't look and see if it's true. Look to see if that were true, would that be incredibly painful?
Yeah, it was painful.
Yeah, so that's part of the hurt that runs your life, because notice your life is going to be about trying to prove it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
See,
is
in the
bad?
Realm...
Is that bad
what?
To do that? To try to prove that?
Well, except that what it does is it creates a state of tunnel vision that destroys your ability to see what works. Because maybe sometimes you may need to do something that you would consider to be like your mom, but you wouldn't be able to because that'd be too threatening.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because in the avoidance of the hurt, all the focus is on how do I avoid this hurt? and there's no conversation subconsciously about what works.
Mm. Well,
so it blinds you.
Yeah.
Now, here,
I think I well, now that I'm older, I've worked on it, and I feel like I'm not like her.
Yes. But you see, in the realm of thinking, see, first off, no judgment exists in reality. You can search the whole world over for a good enough. You're never going to find a good enough. And if you found one, what color would it be and how much would it weigh? See, judgment does not exist in the realm of things. Judgment can only exist in the realm of thoughts. So in our universe, as a human being, in the realm of thinking, we're worthy and we're worthless. We're smart and we're stupid. We're brave and we're coward. We're success, we're a failure. We're just like our parents. We're totally opposite our parents. See, it's in you, it's in me, it's in everybody. But if there's any aspect of ourselves that we're not at peace with, we're going to have to go through life trying to prove it's not true, and that in that tunnel vision of trying to prove it's not true, we're going to act in a way that will ultimately create more of it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, this guy over here's got a major issue with coward. In his running from coward, he will have to be he'll have to be brave. So he's going to live in this tunnel vision of running from what a coward is, trying to be brave. And in that tunnel vision, it will destroy his ability to see what works. So somebody comes along and says, hey, let's jump off a tall bridge with a long bungee cord. And either he'll do it and get injured, or he'll say no and he'll beat himself up because he's a coward.
Mm-hmm.
But in that area of his life, he won't see clearly because it's not about what works. It's about how do I avoid the hurt.
Mm-hmm.
See, so everybody has this hurt, but everybody's got a different hurt. And literally every area of life that doesn't work can be traced to the automatic subconscious avoidance of a very specific hurt. And until we heal that hurt, life will forever keep bringing it to us.
So do you have to do affirmations to get over that? No,
because we haven't talked about how do you heal it yet. Because we
want
to talk about how
okay.
do you find the hurt. See, and incidentally, this is just that hurt that you just mentioned, that's a real common hurt, but it may not be near as strong as it used to have been because of the work that you've done, but I'll bet you there's other nerves that are a lot more powerful than that one.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so we need to find what the hurt is, and in a little bit we're going to talk about how you do that. And then the next thing we're going to talk about is once you find what it is, how do you heal it?
Mm-hmm.
See, because all this stuff, it's like none of it's based on fact. It's just stuff that got made up as a little child. As a little girl with the things that you experienced in the presence of your mom, you couldn't help but get hurt, and you couldn't help but internalize it. You didn't have the wisdom as a little girl to realize your mom had a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
So you couldn't help but create the belief that you were not good enough, not worth loving, worthless, don't count, don't matter, or whatever that hurt is. You couldn't help it, but create it.
Well, I was told when I was younger that you know, everybody, when you're growing up, you have that, like, psychic intuition thing. And I was told that they turned it off, you know, like I was making up things, so... So now I'm trying to get back on the spiritual journey path.
Yeah, well, you live in a culture that invalidated who you are, and that's the nature of our culture. We live in a world that kills love, that suppresses who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that keeps us stuck is that we create the belief that we're in some way not okay, and then we fight it, which then magnifies it out of proportion and messes up our lives.
Hmm. Wow.
So literally, the finding and healing of this hurt is just like unbelievably important. And it's not difficult to do because none of it's based on fact.
Mm-hmm.
See, it wasn't what your mother did that created the hurt. It was your avoiding it.
isn't that all we know how to do?
Well, exactly. That's what we're taught.
Right, right, yeah.
And then we teach our kids, and then they teach their kids, and it just goes on generation after generation after generation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all doing the best we can with what we got. It's just there's nobody around to tell us to look in a different direction.
But Bill's going to turn that all around for us. So
I see that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to take a quick commercial break. All right, and that was a great question. That was really terrific. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to determine the different types of hurt, how you find the hurt that's running your life, and then we're going to learn how to heal those hurts, okay? So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Explore new areas of interest, expand your knowledge, and gain clarity about your life's purpose at the Ocala Enter Center. Affectionately known as OIC, the Ocala Enter Center, just 2 blocks south of Town Square, offers workshops, classes, healing meditations, and special events for the Ocala, Gainesville, and Central Florida spiritual community. Check out our calendar of events at ocalaentercenter.com. And if you're looking for a place for your next workshop or seminar, go to ocalaentercenter.com and give Gene a call.
Hello, everyone, and we are back with Mr. Bill Ferguson, author of the book Get Your Power Back. Today we're talking about honoring our resolution to change our life, and one of the key aspects of changing your life is to look within, find the things that hurt you deeply and that permeate your life to create self-sabotaging behaviors. And if you're just tuning into the show, we've covered quite a few topics, and now we're going to go into how we find the hurt that's running our life. So, Bill, where do we start?
Okay, great. Now, when you're looking for the hurt, remember that the hurt is always going to be the hurt of feeling in some way not okay, not good enough, worthless, failure, don't count, don't matter, stupid, something like that.
Okay.
And it is never, 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 never the truth. So while you're looking, don't look to see is it true, because it's not true. If you look for the truth, you're going to totally miss it. So remember, don't look for the truth, look for the emotion. Don't look to see is it true, look to see if it were true, would that be painful?
Okay.
And if while you're looking, your reaction is, I know I'm not that, then look a whole lot deeper because you've just found it.
Oh, okay.
If your reaction is, well, I know I'm not worthless, you wouldn't say that unless you had a major issue with it.
Okay, so is that a form of resistance right there?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Got you.
So if you truly have no issue with something, the response would be, yeah, that's part of me. So what?
I see. It's that neutrality.
See, denial would be,
okay.
Denial kicks in when you're really threatened.
I see. So if I were to say, maybe I am, there's a little bit of resistance. If I say, yeah, that's a part of me, that's acceptance. But if we immediately put our hand up and say, that's not true, there's your resistance, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Gotcha.
And also keep in mind that in reality, it would never be the truth. It would be physically impossible for you to be worthy or worthless, because both of those are judgments. So in the realm of truth, it would be impossible for you to be any of these things. But in the realm of thinking, which is where we live our lives, in the human experience, we're all of them. And if there's any aspect of you that you're not at peace with, that's going to run your life. You're going to be forced to go through life trying to avoid it. And in your avoiding it, you will forever create more of it.
Makes perfect sense.
So, and that's not the bad news. That's the good news, because life has always put it in your face what you need for your healing. And then when you heal it, when you can say, yeah, that's part of me, so what? You know, it just loses its power, and then that area of life starts clearing up.
Mm.
So, but the first step is you got to find it.
Okay. That sounds so promising. I'm sure a lot of us are just so tired of certain patterns repeating, and finally,
yes,
thanks to you, there's a way to identify
there's
the
a way
cause.
Out. There's a way out of all of it.
Right. If
and
the
by
cause,
the way, the different things. Yeah, the different things that we're going to be talking about, they're listed in the masteryoflife.com in one of the articles. And there's the book that I wrote called Get Your Power Back. And then the whole purpose of the book is to walk you through the process of finding and healing these issues.
Okay.
So the best place to look is to look at the hurt you experienced as a child.
Okay.
Go back in time to the hurt you experienced as a child. Put yourself in that hurt. And then ask yourself, according to the hurt, not according to the truth, but according to the emotion, what incredibly negative, painful thing would those circumstances say about you?
Mm.
And then how do you feel with the notion that down deep, that's the truth about you? Those people were right about you. And not only that, but they were totally justified in treating you the way that they did, because you are so worthless, not good enough, not worth loving, fill in the blank. And
right.
If that is a painful thought, if your natural response is you want to fight it, you just found your hurt.
Okay.
For so most people, that is the hurt.
When you want to shy away from the hurt, you found the cause.
Yeah, it's like the more, if that were true, that you really are that way, that those people were right about you, if that really is the truth, well, the more painful that would be, if it were true, the more it runs your life.
I can feel that, like, even in my own life, just, you know, as much as I've grown and healed and branched out into different things, you know, you look back, because there was a lot of neglect in my home. It just seemed that my parents' relationship was just so much more important than the five of us.
And so
I had this thing in my veins that, you know, it good enough. That wasn't so much because, you know, there were activities I was really good at. So there, I did have a little fortification.
It would be more the matter of you don't count, you don't matter, you have no value, that sort of thing.
That's where it was. Like, I was
yes.
just trying to create a contrast. It wasn't so much about the things I was good at, because there were things I was good at, but then there was that inside inner feeling
yeah.
of not being good enough to be taken care of or focused on
yeah.
instead of that, whatever that was, whatever was going on. And
yeah.
So
we all have different, we get hurt in different ways. But we all do the same thing. We blame ourselves because we live in a world that's judgmental and critical, so we can't help but become judgmental and critical of ourselves. It's the only explanation that makes any sense at the time.
Absolutely.
And then we fight it, which then magnifies it out of proportion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another place to look, oh, by the way, you're not likely to ever know where the hurt gets created. You don't need to know where it gets created. All you got to do is look at your life today to determine what the hurt is. And another great way to find what the hurt is to look at your upsets. Make a list
okay.
of the major times in your life you've been upset, and not even the major times, every time you've been upset. And then with each incident, go to the hurt that's under the incident, and then ask yourself, according to the emotion, what incredibly painful thing would that say about me? So, for example, if somebody leaves me in a relationship and that's painful, that might say I'm not worth loving. If I get fired from a job, that might say I'm a failure or not good enough. The hurt that's under jealousy is almost always not good enough. The hurt that's under rejection and abandonment is almost always not worth loving.
Okay.
If if you know anybody that is always late, the people who are always late are people that have a major issue with being controlled.
How does that work?
So, well, they'll have all that hurt of being controlled as a child, and then if my parents are constantly controlling me, well, in the hurt of it, that proves that I'm worthless, I have no value. Sometimes it's stupid, but most of the times it's worthless, no value. So they'll have all this hurt associated with worthless, no value, and then they'll get it wired up that if they're controlled, that proves they're worthless, no value, so they're not going to allow themselves to be controlled. And the way they avoid being controlled is they'll do it their way. And one way that it manifests is I'll show up when I show up.
Okay, but to look a little deeper into that,
go to the hurt that you experienced.
Yeah,
go to the hurt that you experienced when you were a child, when you felt controlled.
Right.
And then in that hurt of when you felt controlled, what was the hurt? What did those circumstances say about you?
Right.
If your own parents didn't trust you, or your own parents could care less what you wanted, or whatever it is, that's where
right.
the hurt will be.
But what kind of, like, pushed a button that you, for me that you just said is, you know, to say, well, I'll just do it my way. And I was the type of young adult that I was the one running into the office at 8:58, flying into my chair, barely getting my coat off and grabbing a pen to say, I'm here and I'm ready to work. And it's not like I said, okay, this is how I'm going to plan my day. I didn't know how to plan a better day. But eventually, in talking to other people, I learned, well, you know, you pick out your outfit the night before. Just simple things that I had never known.
Yes.
But I was not.
See, all this is subconscious. Yeah,
right.
All
so
this is subconscious. This is nothing you plan over dinner one evening.
Right. It's all subconscious, self-sabotaging behavior that reinforces the notion that you're not.
Yeah, it's all automatic.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't want my previous employers to think, I'll do it my way. That I tried to be a good employee, and eventually I made that improvement, and I would get there absolutely on time. So
yes.
Okay.
Well, see, whatever the destructive behavior is, and that's not to say people can't get out of the destructive behavior, but the destructive behavior will always be fueled by some hurt, because subconsciously they're trying to make life be a certain way so they don't have to feel it,
and then create more of the same, and
exactly
perpetuates the struggle. And until
it
you look at it,
yes.
Look at it,
yes.
Accept it, heal it, that's when you'll see a change.
Yeah, you got to see, because what gives these things power is to do, see, what gives them power is fighting them, like the yellow balloons. Ultimately, there's no difference between the yellow balloons and the worthless. They're both nothing more than thoughts. The more you fight the yellow balloons, you got yellow balloons everywhere. The same thing is true with worthless.
Okay.
So you cannot get rid of it, because everything we do to get rid of it validates it, magnifies it, and gives it more power. So you cannot get rid of it. But what you can do is you can make peace with it and be so what about it. And there's a number of steps in doing that, and we're not going to have time to really walk through all of them, but the real bottom line is that what we need to do is face that part of ourselves, because it is there, but it's part of being human. It's not only is it there in you, it's there in me, it's there in everybody. It's part of all of us. The only thing is we've been taught by our culture that it shouldn't be there, and that drives us nuts, because it is there. Worthless is part of us, and so is worthy.
This is all part of human
condition. Unlovable is part of us, and so is lovable.
Okay.
So as you face the dragon, when you actually face that part of you, and then the work that I do with you is I walk them through that steps of facing it, is when they face it, then you end up seeing on a heart level that the dragon is nothing more than thoughts and feelings. It's an illusion, and the dragon has no teeth.
And it has no power unless...
And it has no power.
And it has
it's
no
just
power.
That we've been given it power... See, because the thing that makes worthless and not good enough and these things so real, I mean, so threatening, is we think they're real.
Right.
But they're not real. They're thoughts.
They're just thoughts. Just little
blips
of energy.
They're just thoughts. And, and when you face that part of you, then you discover on a heart experiential level that it really is an illusion. And then from that moment on, the dragon never has the same power.
Absolutely. So to recap, you're saying when we go to look to see what the core issue is that's running our life, we're going to look for the hurt. We're not going to look for the truth of the matter because we can't. It's not true. No, it's just a circumstance.
That's right. This is
and our reaction
nothing to do with truth. This is purely emotion.
Purely emotion. So we look to the emotions and the hurts and our reactions as a clue to the negative self-concepts that we hold about ourselves that we resist that create more of the same and that
that's right.
Continue
our
to sabotage
upset,
efforts.
Yeah, our fears and our upsets will reveal to us what the hurt is that runs our life. Because every time we get upset, that side of the coin has been put in our face, so every time we're upset, it's proof that that side of the coin exists.
Right. Okay.
You know, worthless is part of us, but so is worthy.
Absolutely.
And then as you can own all the aspects of you, the worthy, the worthless, the success, the failure, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you become whole and complete. You cannot be threatened. You cannot be hurt. But until we own these aspects of ourselves, our life is going to be about running from them. And in the running from them, we create them. And it will happen over and over and over again forever. But it's always for our healing. So every time we get upset is a rich opportunity for healing. It's like, oh, here it is again. Yep, I'm worthless. Oh, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. But here it is one more time. And then every time you own it a little bit more of it disappears. Every time you feel the emotion of it willingly like a child, a little bit more of it disappears. And as you go through life, the hurt gets less and less and less, and your life gets better and better and better.
And is that because as we look at the hurt and look upon, if we look at the hurt and then face that aspect of self that clings to the hurt, if we look at that aspect of self with love and acceptance, we reintegrate that hurt aspect into ourselves to facilitate the unification and the wholeness. Is that
well? It's just a negative pattern that dissolves.
But then, so does the fragmentation, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly, because the fragmentation is created out of the avoidance.
And so, looking at that negative concept based on that emotion and just saying, it's okay. It's
yeah,
part of me.
Yeah.
I accept it.
Yeah.
And then, like you say,
see,
so what? You know, it's
yeah,
kind of
see, the key.
Yeah,
the key to your having more love than you've ever had in your life, the key to creating an incredible life, the key to having your dreams come true, lies in your ability to be human. Because in your humanness is your love, and in your love is the power of the universe. In the love, you're present with who you are. You're happy, you're alive, you're free. You're on top of life. You're creative, you're resourceful. You radiate very positive energy, and great things happen. That's who we are. So it's in that experience of love that life works. And the thing is, such a great irony is that the key to your humanness lies in your worthlessness. Because as you own your worthlessness, your not good enoughness, as you own these aspects of you, the ego dissolves. The pretense dissolves. The tunnel vision dissolves. The destructive behavior dissolves. And you become present with who you are. And as you radiate that into your life, you create an incredible life. Because that's the natural state of who we are, is that state of love. But to get to who you are, you got to go through your worthlessness. So your worthlessness or whatever that hurt is for you, it actually is your greatest gift. That's your worthlessness is the gateway to who you are. And in who you are is where miracles take place.
I always wish I had this 20 years ago. And listening to you now, looking back, and I can look back so clearly, I feel a healing taking place right now just looking at things so briefly. I can see the truth of it. I can see the truth of it, that nothing that ever happened said anything that was true about me. I determined.
Yeah.
I determined the truth.
Yeah. And there's a wonderful freedom when you can own your worthlessness. it's like, for me, my big issue was failure. And then the more I ran from it, the more I created it. And finally, I failed so big, it was in so much in my face, I couldn't escape it. And then there was this moment when I let it in. And
uh-huh.
the moment I let in what an incredible failure I was, my fear of failure lost its power. And then shortly after that, I felt this wonderful freedom. It's like, oh, how wonderful. I'm a failure. How great. It takes all the pressure off because now I don't have to be a certain way. I can just be me. See, and that was
That's
the place
beautiful.
Where my life started working.
Yes, and I've had areas of my life where that worked, but then I had the other areas where I needed to continue to work on.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably true of a lot of us, don't you think?
Yes, for sure, for sure, for sure, for sure,
okay.
for sure.
So you're saying your book, Bring Your Get Your Power Back, that takes people step by step through this process?
Yeah, it shows people how it all works. It explains the tunnel vision and living at cause and living at the effect, and it shows how it all works, and then it walks people through the process of finding what it is and then getting to the other side.
Perfect. And it's not a long, arduous process if you're willing to look
within. No, it's a very, very, very simple. Very simple. You just got to be willing to see something that we spent our whole life trying to avoid. But it's a whole lot easier to see it when you realize ahead of time that it's an illusion.
Absolutely. And it's just so much less fearful now listening to the way you put it.
Yeah, and we still have to face it. But when you know you're facing an illusion, it just takes the pressure off, takes the fear out of it.
Right. Wow. Well, I want the listeners to know all that you have to offer. I mean, on your website, masteryoflife.com, you have a number of exciting things that people can participate in. Namely your e-course, and tell us about your other projects that are out there helping people.
Okay. Well, there's a number of things. One thing, I do individual work with people. The other thing, there's a number of the different books and CDs. There's an audio course that I have, masteryoflife.com, that walks you through the step-by-step process of literally transforming your whole life. And we do workshops and seminars, and then there's the book that covers what we've been talking about today, is Get Your Power Back.
Right.
So and the website masteryoflife.com, there's a section, there's one of the articles in there on finding your inner core issues, and then in that article it shows what. It shows you how to find the issue,
mm-hmm.
and it gives you places to look. So if you did nothing but just read the articles on the website, that would be real, real helpful. But
very helpful. There's over a dozen of them, and you also have a list of common core issues that would help it make it easier to identify.
Yes.
And one of those fears, like you say, just like your parents, that's a huge thing to resist. I mean,
yes.
we have to
yes.
come to peace with that. And this is the key to happiness. You've basically put it together all under one roof. And I love the way you break down, these different feelings of failure and not worth loving and always being late. The people who are late for things, I think that is huge
yes.
insight into that behavior aspect that is confusing even to the person doing it. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. And then when you're present with who you are, like when you're in that experience of love, all these things disappear. When you're in that experience of love, worthy and worthless don't exist. The circumstances of life have no power. The past does not exist. None of these things exist when you're in that experience of love because they don't exist in reality. They only exist in our mind by virtue of the power that we've given them in our mind.
Mm.
No circumstance has power over us. Circumstances only have the power that we give them.
It's like that Psych 101 statement. People can't make you feel a certain way. You choose to feel a certain
That's
way
right.
based on their actions.
Right.
That fits right in?
Exactly. Because what it is that loses our power, what it is that has us give our power to the circumstance is we fight it. We're fighting the circumstance and we're fighting the truth because that circumstance is there. And in our fighting it, we give it power over us. And then things go south very quickly.
So that makes perfect sense.
To me, this is so exciting because when you can start discovering why your life is the way that it is, you become more able to determine how your life will be. And when you change how you relate to life, you change what happens around you.
Absolutely. It just makes so much perfect sense. And it's the perfect way if, you know, before the holidays hit and you kind of dug your heels into the ground and you said, okay, I'm going to do something about this. And I would think that many of us, when we make a New Year's resolution, that we're resolving to change something about the outside, whether it's our physical body, whether it's our work environment, maybe find a new job or go back to school, to add to our sense of self-value, those outside things that we want to change. But I think this is the true resolution for all of us that should be made is to heal ourselves by healing the past. And I think life will just open up on every level, don't you think?
It does, and we have to heal this hurt because this hurt is more powerful than all the positive thinking in the world.
I totally agree. There's so many people who push the mantras and the intentions. I teach that stuff, but I think in order to go forward, you have to go backward. And in order to find the light, you have to go into the darkness.
Yeah.
And that way the light can find you, and then you grow from there, not from taping something to your bathroom mirror and repeating it over and over, and then you go out into the world, show up to work late, you know, arguing with coworkers, and all these behaviors that, as you put, you know, resist the part of us that we feel and don't want to address.
Yeah, you've got to go through the hurt to get to who you are. Because who we are is on the other side.
The purity and the love that we are
is
just on the other side of the hurt and the misperceptions that we made about our circumstances. That's all.
Yeah, because literally who we are is pure love, pure creation, pure possibility.
Absolutely. A luminous child of God. That is our true identity. Well, you are luminous, sir. Thank you so much for coming on and teaching us all these valuable tools to help us in our own individual lives.
Well, thank you. And it was so, so great, you know, doing this with you. You're fun to do this with.
I appreciate that. I do have a good time. This is, you know, some of my favorite things. And self-growth has, I think I'm blessed in that respect where I kind of learned to recognize that growing can be fun. It doesn't always have to be painful. And that's what helped me persevere and really get to the bottom of my core issues and really get to a level of peace that I never thought was possible in the childhood that I had. So I appreciate it, and it's wonderful to kind of incorporate two different ways of thinking into one to make it even that much easier. And I do hope the listeners thoroughly enjoyed this conversation as much as we have and that they've learned as much as we have about ourselves just in having this dialogue. And I do hope you go to the website, masteryoflife.com. You can contact Bill. You can access his blog. Again, he's got the free e-course, the bookstore, individual support, workshops, and an amazing audio course. Just tell them a little bit about that audio course, Bill, because you were telling me before the show, it's a weekly course, and that one-third of the people who take it actually sign up for it again because they find so much value in it.
Yeah, it's actually an e-course. It's not an audio course, it's an e-course.
No? Okay.
And each week you get a very powerful insight with suggested action to take. And it's a short read, but it's a very powerful insight. You work with that, and you see immediate results. And then a week later you get another insight, and these things build on themselves. And it walks you through all the steps of creating an incredible life. Because there's a step-by-step process for having life be great, and it walks you through these steps. And another thing about the course is it's a weekly reminder of who you are, which keeps you from getting too caught up in the circumstances. And it's an ongoing course. There's 36 lessons, And at the end of it, there's from a third to a half of the people that do the course sign up and do it all over again.
Hmm.
So it's free. It doesn't cost anything.
And it sounds very, oh, it doesn't?
No, it's free.
Oh, the free e-course. Okay, this is the free e-course. I got it confused with the audio course. That's fantastic, and it sounds very grounding and transformative. So basically, in the space of a month, you could be on your way to having a totally different life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then the audio course is something different. That's 10 CDs and a workbook. And then the e-course is based on the audio course, but that, you know, the ideal thing is go through the audio course, get all this stuff real quick, and then use the e-course to, you know, take it further and get grounded in it.
To reinforce. Okay, that sounds good.
Reinforce it, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So all that's on the website.
I'm going to do the free e-course. I'm going to absolutely do that. I recommend everybody do that. And please send your feedback into Bill. Let him know what you were up against, how you broke free, broke out of that prison, and let him know how he's helped to change your life. It's always great to hear that what you're working on is effective and helping others. That is our main goal here, is that we want to help others. And we're very blessed to be given these divine assignments, I feel. And I feel very blessed to be able to share this time with you, Bill.
Well, I've had a good time, too, and then I look forward to the next time I get to talk to you.
That sounds great. Let me know what you've got going on. Anytime you want to come back, you just let me know, okay?
Great.
All right, Bill. Well, that's our show today, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. And do visit the website. Take advantage of the tools that have been offered. And until next time, God bless and be at peace.